The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
This is Vince Russo's The Brand.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to 8 Days a Week. This is Vince Russo, and I'm here with Jeff Lane, bro. A happy Thursday to you. This is the show, bro, where we give you a little snippet of everything going on in the brand. Man, bro, the brand, Jeff, right now, I got to tell you, Patreon's at an all-time high, subscriptions at an all-time high. I'm very, very thankful for those that listen to the show. This show is going to grow now because we're going to give you more clips of the shows that we brought on board. Jeff, what's going on?
Not too much. Remember, guys, all the clips that you're going to see in this show, and I think we're up to 8 clips now on this show, are available exclusively on the Realm Network in video and audio. You'll get these entire shows every week. There is zero long-term commitment, guys. You can opt out at any time. It is still less than $1 a week, and if you prefer to listen to your podcast in audio form on the go, Realm Network will give you your own private RSS feed that you can pop into your favorite podcast app, listen to it on the go. If you prefer video, you can stream it off the Realm site. You can you have up to like a month or so to download, keep the video versions, but all these shows coming up. Again, guys, you can get these at russosbrand.com. Just click subscribe to the Realm Network right at the top.
You know, Jeff, I want to talk about, I can't get into a lot of things. I got a boatload of stuff to talk about, man, coming off of my Salt Lake City trip. There's a lot of things I want to talk about, bro. You know, Corona at the airport. I got so many things to talk about, bro, but I told you guys, man, it's going to be 8 days on Chicken Next. On Chicken Next, I got all my rants. This I want to talk about because this is something I'm really trying to look at. Bro, you know, I did not watch Elimination Chamber last night. You know, bro, listen, guys, I am going to be honest with you. I'm going to be flat out honest with you. There is not one wrestling show on today. That includes all of them, guys. That includes every company, WWE, AEW, Ring of Honor, NWA Power, all those shows. There is not one wrestling show on today that is worth my time. None. Guys, I'm sitting there, you know, last night I'm watching Curb Your Enthusiasm for 40 minutes, okay? I'm laughing from the beginning of the show till the end of the show. Fast forward to me watching any wrestling show, I just want it to end. Listen, people can think these shows are great. You know, AEW's got a following. You know, WWE, bro, that's great. If you think these shows are great, I would never in a million years tell you, you know, bro, they're not. Don't watch them. You're an idiot for watching. I would never tell you that. What I am telling you is, for me, they are it's a total waste of my time. Watching these shows and following these companies and wrestling is nothing but work. That's all it is. Guys, when I come on here and I talk about wrestling, you have to understand the only thing I really care about are the real topics. You know, I really am concerned about, you know, guys doing stupid things and getting hurt and getting crippled and cutting their career short and getting concussions. That stuff really concerns me. Creative, you know, toy spiders. Guys, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't give a shit on anything that happens on the show. I don't give a shit that Goldberg beat The Fiend. I don't give a shit about any of it. None of it means anything to me. My passion for professional wrestling is gone, okay? The difference is, bro, my passion lies in podcasting, okay? So when I'm doing shows concerning wrestling, you are getting my passion because my passion is in my show. My passion is in my podcasting network. My passion is in the brand. My passion is in wanting to entertain you. The subject matter, I do not give a shit about. So with that being said, you had to know like just how little I cared about Elimination Chamber last night to not watch it at all. Like, guys, you got to understand, I can sit there and watch Elimination Chamber. I can watch it while I'm on Twitch. I can make money watching it while I'm on Twitch. I could do a preview, a review with Jeff when it's over and make money, you know, on YouTube or the brand or whatever. So we could take that 3 hours and make money from it. Bro, I know that watching that for 3 hours is not going to be worth the money I can make. I'd rather be with my wife. I'd rather be doing something I want to do. I'd rather Jeff have the free time. Okay, now here's what I'm getting at.
With and that, it's normally close to 4 hours.
Yeah, whatever. With that being said, I got to say this because I don't want to be a hypocrite. There were not, I don't know if I read one good report or one comment from that show last night. I don't know if I did. Everybody just was like, "What? Why are we watching this? This is a waste of time. This is so predictable." You know, the people in the arena, you know, they're saying we're dead, yada, yada. I did not read one positive comment. So what I start thinking about is because I try to relate this to myself. And guys, here's what I'm talking about. I always go back and I try to relate things to myself. And when I put things in their proper perspective as it pertains to me, I don't expect you to agree with me. I don't expect you to think and feel and act the same way I do. I'm just trying to put it in my perspective as a human being. I'm trying to tell you what I think and what I feel so you will understand where I'm coming from. And we're going to get into that. We're going to do a Patreon show right after this. We're going to do a bonus Patreon show, bro, where somebody wrote me a letter of why they're no longer, you know, they've been a brand member for a long time, why they're not supporting the brand anymore. And then I'm going to read you my response to the guy. I responded to him in an email in which I thought was a professional, respectful manner. And that led to me getting an email back with the guy telling me to. So I'm going to break that all down for you because, again, like I've got to look at this and I got to say to myself, like, how did this ever get to this point? I didn't disrespect this guy. I told this guy how I felt, what my opinion was. I didn't expect him to agree with me. What I really expected was, okay, Vince, I respect your opinion, but we look at things differently. Okay, that's cool, bro. I didn't expect you to tell me this. I'm not, you know, bro, at this point in my life, I'm not anybody's. Okay. We'll get
what
into
point
that.
What point in your life were you?
Never.
Anyway, those will be for the super bros and up at patreon.com/RussoTWC. Yeah.
And I'm going to read the emails verbatim. And if you don't like it, then you shouldn't send me emails. I'm not going to read the person's name. I'm going to read the emails because I have to read emails like that to protect myself because this could now be one of those people that go out there, oh, Vince Russo is a douchebag and Vince Russo is a scumbag and stop listening to Vince Russo and this, that, and the other thing. So when something turns that ugly for whatever reason, well, then I like, okay, bro, now remember I did the thing with Ryan Satin? Went, oh, bro, right. I'm going to expose our email exchanges. And I said, well, Ryan, how about I expose them before you? And Jeff, remember when I read every email exchange, I said nothing?
Right.
Okay, it was the same thing with my email to this guy. But we'll talk about that on the Super Bros. And I think you should listen to it. Here's what I'm getting at, Jeff. Last night's show, you know, to the point of like – even to me, leaving money on the table where it's not worth me watching. Okay, I got to put everything in its proper perspective. Jeff, I go to work the Utah show this weekend. Okay, now, Manny is one of the nicest human beings I've ever met in my life. He's the kind of guy, bro, you want to help. You want to bend over backwards to help. Okay, Jeff, the talent there, so freaking respectful to me. No issues, no questioning, and nothing. Whatever I ask them to do, they do it. Okay, bro, I spend a great amount of time in the crowd, okay, to watch the show, okay? And then after every match, I go back, I talk to them about the match. Bro, the people in the crowd, they treat me like I couldn't even tell you, okay, bro? So the experience is unreal, okay? But here's what I'm getting at, and here's a comparison to last night. Jeff, do you know how hard it is, especially when you really, really, really want to help somebody because they deserve your help and they're being so nice to you? It has nothing to do with the money, bro. Nothing. Guys, thank God. I'm going to be honest with you, knock on wood, I don't need the money from that show. Thanks to you. You know, with what we do, everything, you know, with our podcast, I don't need to go there for the money. It's not that. It's I want to help them because they're good people, okay? But here's the problem, and this is how I'm going to segue into last night. Bro, it is so hard. It is so hard to do something, bro, when your heart is just not in it, okay? Jeff, these young people I'm working with, Manny that I'm working with, you know, bro, these guys have big dreams and big aspirations of wanting to be wrestlers and wanting to break into the wrestling business and hoping one day to be on WrestleMania in the WWE. Like, you know, this is, you know, like perhaps the most important thing in their lives. Okay. First of all, bro, it is very, very difficult for me to support them in their dreams when I know what they're getting themselves into. Okay, like I feel like a hypocrite. I mean, bro, I'm just going to be honest with you. Thank God none of my kids ever wanted to get into wrestling, because if they wanted to get into wrestling because they're my kids, there would be an issue. And I would say, no, bro, I am not going to allow somebody I love deeply that much to get into that business and just be treated like a piece of me. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? So like, bro, I can't be that way with these kids that have these hope and dreams. I have to help assist them to get to where they want to go. So like the situation is twofold. Number one, I feel like I'm a hypocrite, because I would never tell them to pursue this. I would tell them to get into something else. And Jeff, number two, because of my experiences, my heart is just not in it. Like, Jeff, that doesn't mean I'll do any less work, because I won't. You're paying me to write the show. You're paying me to produce the show. You're paying me to help you be successful. I am going to do all those things. But bro, it is very, very difficult for me when my heart is not in it. And bro, I can imagine how many people go to work every day and their heart is not in their job. And what they do, bro, is, you know, I tell my kids this my whole life growing up. Guys, kids, suck it up. Suck it up. Suck it up. Sometimes in life, man, we got to do some things we don't want to do to get to the next place. Suck it up. So like right now, bro, I'm in suck it up mode because, you know, it's hard for me to be a hypocrite. These are good people. The WWE, they're bro, the people on top management. I'm not talking about wrestlers. They're not good people, bro. They're dishonest people. They're liars. They don't care about you. All they care about is money and power and everything that's wrong with this world. So for me to take these young 20-year-old somethings and try to assist them in going that in that direction, it makes me a hypocrite. That's number one.
Number two, is what you can do with that, though.
Go ahead.
Is you don't have to be a hypocrite because, you know, whether that's their dream or, you know, if that's their dream, you learned it by doing it. And just because you went through all that and you know how these people are, you can teach them how to survive in that world if they choose to go that route. You don't have to support their decision to do it, but you can give them the best advice possible to deal with all that crap that you dealt with.
Nah, Jeff, I got to disagree with that because I wouldn't want to put anybody through that, having to deal with it. Because what you're telling them right there is, okay, bro, this is how you have to play the game. Bro, you should not get in any – you should not get into any line of work if there is a game to be played. Because if there is a game to be played, bro, what you're saying right there is you're saying a couple of things, really bad messages. First of all, bro, you're going into a world where there's a lot of bad people. That's number one. Number two, bro, now you've got to play this game in order to survive. And what that means is it's going to be the same thing that happened to me. What that means is you cannot be yourself. You got to put on a facade and you got to become somebody else just unable to exist.
Bro. Yeah, but if they want to do it, they're going to try to do it anyway. You know, you're not going to talk them out of it. So maybe give them the best advice. They can do with that advice what they want. Maybe they'll see, you know what, maybe that isn't what I want, or maybe that will help them when they try to do it. But I think if they want to do it, they're probably still going to do it anyway. And any advice you can give them about the negative side would only help them.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, bro, because I don't know if it helps them, because if there are people with stars in their eyes, what it really does is it turns them against me. And that happened. I know that happened at Rocky Mountain Pro, bro. I know that when I was telling them the reality and the truth of the wrestling business, they did not want to hear it. Therefore, it turned them against me. I know that. I know that. But Jeff, so here's the thing. Bro, what's more important, finding your pen over there or listening? Somebody just says I'm giving like father-like advice here.
Yeah, no, I dropped my cap and I can't find it.
You want to go get the cap now?
I don't know where it is. I can't find it. Okay. It's irritating me.
Here's how I'm tying this into last night. Okay. So, Jeff, I am telling Manny, bro, my heart isn't in it when I do it. But you're going to get the same Vince Russo you got when his heart was in it. I'm just sucking it up. And it's much harder. It's much, much harder for me. But at the end of the day, you're paying me. So you're going to get the best me. Okay. Last night, Elimination Chamber. All these bad shows, bro. Okay. Bro, I got to ask myself the question now as I look at myself. How could Vince McMahon's heart possibly still be in this? And like, is that the issue? Is that the issue? Is Vince McMahon, you know, I got to be honest with you. I'm 60. I'm going to be 60. Bro, I have said when I turn 60, bro, I can't be talking about wrestling anymore. I don't know how many years I have left. I'm not going to waste them talking about freaking the Young Bucks. I'm not going to do it, bro. I'm just not going to do it. Because, bro, I'm 60. I'm looking at the end. I don't know when that end is, but that end is in sight. Bro, Vince is 74. I mean, has the time come in the man's life when it's like what am I doing? Like, this could be my last decade on this planet. What am I doing? You know, literally spending how much hours of my time left here thinking of the finish of the Elimination Chamber? Like, really? is it like I haven't done enough of this, bro? I could be totally wrong. I could be totally off base because I am not Vince McMahon. But from my point of view, how in God's name can his heart still be in this? And if his heart is not still in this, that may very well be, bro, why we're getting the product that we're getting. But, you know, like I said, bro, there comes a point where, bro, if your heart is not in it and you know it's affecting your product, you know it's affecting the people that work for you, you know it's affecting the people that are depending on you, you know it's affecting the fans. There comes a point, bro, if your heart is not into it and you become a detriment, bro, you got to walk away. Like if I ever got to the point, you know, with devotion where, bro, like I love everybody here. I want to help them. I can't, like my heart is just not in this and it's hurting them. There comes a point when you got to walk away, but it's like, bro, I'm just questioning a 74-year-old Vince. I mean, can he really be given a shit about this stuff like he once did at his age?
Well, if you're basing that on the product being bad, I mean, he would have had to stop giving a shit, you know, over 5 years ago. I mean, it's been bad that long. You know, I just from an outside perspective, it just, you know, it seems like so goes the product with the people around him. You know, the product was just as bad in the early to mid or the mid 90s, you know, and you worked with him then and, you know, knew how much he cared then and it was crap. So Matt, I don't know, but you worked with him. Did you ever think that this guy would just not care about this stuff one day? Cause you had always seemed to say this was his life. It came before his kids. It's all that mattered. He was the first one to show up, last one to leave.
Bro, the older I get, I can't imagine. Like, I just can't imagine. And you know, here's the thing to everybody listening to this. There's people listening on Twitch right now. There's people going to be listening wherever they could hear this show. Man, I got to tell you guys, there are a lot of people, man. There are millions and millions and millions of people out there, man, that go to work to make a living for their family that do not get any joy in what they do. Like it is a job, but because they're prideful people and because they're hardworking people and because they know there are people that are depending on them, they go out and they do that job. Guys, I want to tell you, I don't care what the job is, if you think there isn't any respect that goes along with that, you're out of your minds. Because I am telling you firsthand, I have done a lot of things in my life because other people were depending on me that were not fun. And if I had my choice, I would not have been doing them. But you know, I knew people are depending on me. I got a family. You know, and I've got to go and do the best I can. So I swear, bro, my hat's off to so many people out there that are listening to this that I know go through that on a daily basis because it's not easy.
All right, let's look at the shows on the Realm Network this past week at russosbrand.com. Again, still less than $1 a week in video and audio. Vince on Cash Trading the Marks, we had maybe your favorite closer of all time. A lot of great feedback from this one. This is Bruce Mitchell giving his advice to whoever may replace the recently fired WWE co-presidents.
What's your short answer to a prospective replacement for Berrios and Wolfson if they email you or call you? Go, Bruce, should we take this job? And if you're thinking of it, what is on our to-do list?
Oh, if the person calls me and says, okay, I was about to say.
Not to take the job, but they call to ask you for advice or, you know, what should their plan be? What's on their agenda?
Is to cement the planning process where, and stop chasing the quarter hour rating and stop chasing the ratings and get a plan that they you know, get a creative plan that everybody signs in on, and not worry about weather spoilers and all that, and try to very much establish a new, whether it's Drew McIntyre, but not someone who's been tried already, not a Seth Rollins, and certainly not a Roman Reigns, but if it's a Drew McIntyre, and be in the business of being that top star along with that top brand, and being in the wrestling business of presenting, you know, of presenting shows that are about wrestling. And I know we're going to talk, in other words, that are about professional wrestlers and the stars and their goals and their goals of professional wrestling goals, and the things that deviate from that are used sparingly and used in ways that are effective and then and brought back. And that's what you're
forget. I'm not interested. Okay. Thank you, Bruce.
That's the stories that you're telling, and to completely reinvent the creative department, and particularly how language is used in that creative department, that is much more relatable to, it's more relate that the audience is kept in mind much more than the corporate benchmarks.
And a lot of that sounds like advice to Vince McMahon or Vince's replacement.
Oh my God, bro! what the hell, bro? What the hell?
This is the guy that says you cost companies millions of dollars.
Oh my!
Ignore God. The ratings, bro, and bro, have a plan cemented.
You're gonna talk to the two highest ranking officials in the company about Drew McIntyre being the WWE champion. Oh my God! But yeah, this is the guy that says I cost every company millions of dollars. Oh my God! Can you, bro? Can you imagine as a shoot two people that are being considered for the two highest ranking officials in the WWE, and they call him and he tells them that? Like, seriously, bro, he tells them that. Can you imagine?
Is there anything after a week that you would like to add to that match?
Yeah, I'm gonna put a whole new different perspective on it.
Okay.
Bro, say that was you. Say you gave that soliloquy, okay? Because I love you. I wouldn't want you to look stupid. I would feel that I had to protect you, okay? Bro, I would tell you to edit that out of the show. and I'm not kidding you. So, like, that tells me a lot about freaking Wade Keller. Wade, your co-host, and that's got nothing to do. Take co-hosts out there. I don't look at Jeff as a co-host. I look at Jeff as a friend. Your friend looked like a total buffoon. Sounded like a total buffoon. Sounded like he knew absolutely nothing about wrestling and business. How could you allow that to air? Like, I don't understand. Like, bro, honestly, whether you're a diehard pro wrestling Torch fan or not, was there one person that said, oh my God, you have to listen to Bruce Mitchell's comments concerning the advice he would give to the new CEOs of the WWE? So the fact that, like, seriously, like, bro, it was horrible to begin with. How do you freaking air that, bro? You have the ability to edit that out and basically say, you know what, Bruce? I don't think that was in your best light. I don't think you came across well. I would tell Jeff that in a heartbeat. And you know what? I know Jeff would tell me that in a heartbeat. Jeff has told me that in the past with certain things I've said. I mean, God, bro, like, seriously, I don't understand. By running that clip, what were the positives?
We got positives out of that.
Well, I mean, we got positives, but like seriously, bro. Like, I swear to God, if Wade Keller's my boss, I'm saying, brother, you got to freaking protect me when I come across down in like a dope. Yeah, please tell me, bro. Like, seriously. What's the next, Jeff?
Well, last Tuesday, we aired our first episode of Talks with Taylor Hendricks. And Taylor had Nikki Rocks, who was Roxy Laveau in TNA, on as a guest. And in this clip, they're talking about advice to new people getting into the wrestling business.
For people that want to get into wrestling, what do you think was the biggest defining decision that you made that really ultimately helped give momentum to your career? What do you think that was?
I think like if I could like single it out to like one point, because I feel like a lot of times people just get comfortable in their one spot. Do you know what I mean? Like, so people in New England, people on West Coast stay in West Coast. Like, that's just the way that it is. I think the moment that you become brave enough to venture out will change everything. Like, I got invited to go to Mexico, and it's so funny. This is going to age me. I got invited to go to Mexico off of MySpace, where they still had Glory on the internet.
Oh, I remember that. Oh my gosh.
Yes. So like this gentleman reached out to me and was like, hey, do you want to come to Mexico? I was like, yes.
Yeah.
And I didn't speak the language. I had never met him. I didn't know where I was going. I knew nothing. And so that was like my brave point that I think like a lot of people will be a little bit more apprehensive. Like, if my babies ever asked me to do that, I'd be like, the hell no. Like, we're not doing that. You're never doing that. But like, that was like, for me, I feel like the defining moment that I was like, oh, okay, like, this is going to be something I'm going to do like more permanently. This is something I'm ready to like give everything to, including my safety. So.
How many years in were you when you got to that point?
I want to say it was about three or four years in that happened. So it's not something that like, I feel like it's the same when it comes to like what I do now. Like, you really have to put work in, and you really have to take what you're doing very seriously and not listen to like the outside words of like, this is fake. This isn't going to bring you anywhere. You're not going to go anywhere with it. Like, you really have to like shove that behind you and like put in the work. If you're not booked on a show, like find a show to get on, like that kind of stuff, which I think a lot of people don't do anymore.
That's an excellent point, Nikki. I was actually just having a conversation a couple weeks ago about that, so I'm glad that you brought that up. I felt spoiled coming into the New England scene because there were so many of you ladies already there and established by the time I came in. And then later on in my career, when I moved to the Midwest, there was like no girls, and they're like, yeah. We almost never have girls. And I was like, wow, I must have like been very spoiled, you know, to grow up where I did in the business. But I remember like having to do ring crew, sell other people's merch, pay for training, go to shows for free and pay all these dues and things. And it always took a lot of time, like you were saying. And no one ever really taught me to ignore the noise and just focus on what my goals are and put in the work no matter what. I think people later on started getting like instant opportunities and they didn't have to do those sort of things. So it's very interesting that you experienced that also, because obviously you came in before me and you noticed that. So is that something that you would tell other people that want to get into business, is more patience and ignore the noise or just try to go for the first opportunity? What would you say to them?
And Nikki had said, you know, the advice you give new people is get out of your area, get out of your comfort zone, go to other places. She talked about how she went to Mexico. Like, the kids you work with, do you see them doing a lot of that stuff, or do they just work in the local area there?
No, I think they're willing to go out. I think they're willing to go out and do that stuff. And I think that's great advice, man. I mean, you know, again, put wrestling aside, I think getting out of your comfort zone in anything you do is great advice, because that's how you're going to grow as an individual and a human being, man. So I think that's great, great, great advice. And I know Nikki, I work with her at TNA for a while. And yeah, man, I think that is absolutely great advice.
And on Wednesday, the Raw SmackDown review, you, Stevie Richards, Bin Hameen, in this clip, you're talking about producing Bailey.
D Stevie, here's the one thing. We talked about this last week. What was her first line? Shut up, you bunch of losers. Stevie, is that all they could do is pander to the crowd? Can they do? Did they watch Orton's promo yesterday? Bro, Orton could have cut that promo in an empty arena. Like, nobody was there, bro. It had nothing to do with the – and you see Orton to cut a promo. Bro, these freaking people – AJ last night. Bro, they cannot cut a promo without taking the cheap shots at the crowd. It blows my freaking mind.
There's an interesting thing with Bayley, too. Because even, and Ben, maybe you can explain this because you know about inflection and improv and stage stuff.
I don't know anything. I just know. Happy Lana Day to everybody.
Please, no more shirts from the side. I saw I'm a Hugger soft cooler. That was pretty good. $10.
Tell me, Stevie don't have his shirt on.
Stevie's got his shirt on.
I'm already sweating from cardio. I don't need to be. Listen, with Bayley. When she screams, it's still monotone. It's still just like there's no change in emotion or volume or inflection or anything. It's weird. And even facial expressions, like, how is anyone producing her? That's what I'd like to know. Like, are they saying when you go out there, actually try to show less emotion than you were a baby face? Don't give me less facials because that's what we want. We want you to be more boring than even you were as a baby face. How does that happen?
Because no one really is coaching them. They just get that false applause in NXT and you took them on the ride and they think the ride is turn up the volume and it's not. It's about content delivery, honesty, connection, drawing from method and experience to put it back in the character to be real, like how Orton's thing was, where he pretty much said, I was up on pills and all messed up in my head and trying to bang around on my wife or whatever without saying it, right? Mm-hmm. That had many layers to it. That had many truths to it. And you can see a truth in an improv scene. And they would tell us that if you get stuck, tell a truth about yourself. Even if you're in character, the audience isn't going to know what's a truth or what isn't. Mm-hmm. Like that they're going to be able to question it, but it's going to resound and resonate. And there was 4 or 5 points in that promo that he did that had that truth in there.
There were four or five points there when Bayley was introducing Sasha.
Well, she is better than Beyonce, and she is better than Cardi B. I mean, both of them suck too. I mean, that's just a whole group of people who suck who I don't want to deal with. But here's the thing:
is Vince didn't write that, Stevie, because she would have said he is better than Aretha.
Aretha will be the number one. At least people would probably know. Yeah, that's the thing too. There's lack of self-awareness. Cardi B has come out and talked about how she prostituted and stole money from John's, and all her songs are about just stuff. And that's, I don't know. That's I can't wait to hear Sasha's song.
Here's the thing. Like, here's what I would, if I was really there and I was going to do something, because it's easier to bust balls and wear Lana Day shirts and look up shit on clearance and rib on people's pushes or lack.
I'd much rather do that, to be honest with you.
I do too. That's my 90%, but I gotta add a little something before we go. This is for almost any actress that I would work with that would stalk like that, is you have to find a monologue that's going to break you out. And I would use the bride's monologue from Kill Bill. I think that is probably one of the most strongest parts for women. And she goes from being dead in a coma to waking up looking for revenge on a guy who scorned her. Meanwhile, thinking her baby that was cut out of her is gone and is real. And she's an assassin. Now that's a lot of layers. And if you can do that, look dead, didn't I? But I wasn't monologue from Kill Bill. I won't go through it all, but that's what I would give to her. And I would say, you need to do this for a week, every day, 15 times a day, and then we'll work together, and then we'll block it out, and then we'll do it 3 different ways with way more intensity, with zero intensity volume-wise, but through your eyes and through your direct action. And then also re-block it like you're walking around a bunch of dead bodies that you just killed, which is a different scene altogether as opposed to a one-shot to a camera. So they can feel
it. Oh, my God. Come on, bro. You're not –
You're saying is great, but
they're going to say, well, where's all the cool moves I do with no psychology in that? And they're going to go, I swear to God, I've heard stories about NXT. I've heard stories, and so have you, and so have you, Vince.
And you guys covered a few different things there, how she's always monotone. Ben gave his thoughts on how to work with her on promo. Stevie talked about it. But, Vince, we see this every week. We see the live takes where there's screw-ups all the time, where you know that you would have done that in a pre-tape. Do it again, do it again, do it again. But we see this stuff live, and it's just awful. How much time do you think they're actually spending with individual talents working on their speaking skills?
Well, bro, it's obviously not enough. I mean, whatever time they're spending, it's not enough, man. It's not enough. And I really believe, bro, again, go back to the wrestling bubble. This shit is passable in the wrestling bubble. If you want to know what a promo should look like, look at Randy Orton's promo last week. Look at Jake Roberts on AEW. Then look at Bayley's promo and tell me I'm freaking nuts. And I don't mean to pick on Bayley. She has not been trained properly. You know, I was working with Sean Waltman when he first, you know, really started coming into his own, and Sean was not strong at promos. And we did, you know, repetition after repetition after repetition after repetition. And you know, then, you know, I remember Sean coming back over from the WCW, and he cut one of the best promos I ever heard. That's the thing. They're not getting better. And again, I don't mean to put heat on Bayley. Bayley seems like a wonderful, kind human being, but she's not getting the support she needs to get in order to be better.
Goldilocks puts together these phenomenal Twitter promo videos for her show, Goldie's Closet. This week she had Francine, who is now part of the brand, on our Patreon at patreon.com/RussoTWC. So take a look at this.
Francine is coming on the brand. She's yes. got her own Patreon. Let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about what your show is going to be for people on the Realm Network, for people on Vince Russo's brand. Like, what are you going to be bringing to the table? Because somebody came up to me and said, hey, are your tits fake or real?
That was not me. That is not how I speak to people.
I was like, I didn't know what to say. Were you happy, or what was really going on in your life then?
I was happy performing. I loved performing. It was like I lived, breathed, ate, slept wrestling back then. Like, I really loved it. Loved it, yes. Like, I was down to do, I wanted to take everybody's finishers. Like, I wanted to be that girl.
I couldn't even watch some of the stuff last night. I'm just like, did you have any idea, like, this could, like, give you...
What the hell?
Brain damage or...
Oh, my mom used to tell me. Yeah, my mom used to say, you know, when you're 40, you're going to feel it. And she was right. She was 100% right. And it crushed me. And I begged Paul, please don't put that... Yeah. I said, please don't put that on there. It just makes me sad. See, now
I'm because people are freaking assholes.
And yeah, it hurt.
They need to be held accountable for it. And if somebody sent me their boobs, I would be like, oh, okay, that looks good. but not the ball sack. So
it's not the most attractive body part. Like, I'd rather see a guy's eyes or his smile.
And of course, guys, you can get that audio. That's a free audio show every week. But I'm telling you, you want the video. You get that on the Realm Network as well. But Francine, guest on her show this week, and we just added her to Patreon, Vince, with her show Eyes Up here at patreon.com/RussoTWC.
Bro, these are two brilliant women. I mean, I was so lucky to not. Well, I really didn't get to work with Francine much in her prime. I think I got to work with her, you know, once at TNA. I really think that's about it. But thank God I got to know her, you know, just, you know, like a few months ago. And her and Goldie are just brilliant, brilliant, smart, creative women. And I love having them on the part of the brand and this and the fact that their worlds came together and what they're capable of doing creatively together just blows my mind.
And Thursday, the brand new show, first episode aired, Black and White. with you and Stevie Ray, and he had an interesting conversation with you, Vince, about why he thinks O.J. Simpson is innocent. Take a listen.
You are a writer. You are sitting there because you want everything to pan out exactly like you've tailored it to pan out. Vince Russo watching wrestling on television that I really don't have a stake in, how am I going to watch it then? I'm just going to take snippets from it.
No, yeah, I agree. Right, right. Yeah, no, nobody's going to sit there and watch all 9 months of this trial. That's what you're saying, right? Okay.
Because you get it. You come home from work, Vince.
Yeah.
You've done your 10, 12 hours. You come home, you know, kick it with your wife, kick it with your kids, kick it with your dog, sit down, relax, have a beer, whatever. Then you turn on CNN and you believe every single solitary thing that those people are putting out there.
Yeah, well, and they're what you're saying, Stevie, is they're going to pick and choose exactly what you're seeing. So, in other words, they're going to tell the story that they want to tell.
Right.
Okay. Okay. I'm with you so far.
And that's when you see people go, well, what about all the blood? Well, the blood was 1% of a percent that fit on the head of a ballpoint pen. But when they say it was massive amounts of blood, it wasn't. They don't talk about that the Bronco was checked for blood several months later, 2-3 months later, they find blood. They don't talk about that. They don't talk about certain things like O.J. Simpson. They kept putting this tape out about O.J. Simpson when his wife was saying, oh, he's going to beat my ass. You know who he is. He's O.J. O.J. Simpson and his wife had one single solitary confrontation that the police was called out. One single solitary confrontation. That was in 1989. But they kept playing that tape over and over again, and you thought it was on a daily basis. I dug into the investigations of things that weren't put on television. Because, see, what I'm saying is that piece, what you're saying, the media wouldn't want something like that to come out.
Right. It doesn't tell their story. It doesn't tell the good story.
Right. Okay. Because they've created a narrative to the nation that this man is a woman beater. And do you know, everybody involved, the FBI, prosecutors, investigators, talked to every single solitary woman in this man's past life. Even his ex-wife, Paula Barrieri, the girl he was dating at the time. Not one person, not one female has ever came forward and said, O.J. Simpson was violent toward me.
And you guys were talking there about how, you know, everything did air on TV, but who's sitting there watching the whole trial? And Stevie's point was that the media would pick and choose what clips they wanted to show in the news recap of the day. And that's what everybody saw, but they didn't sit there and pay attention to it. And that's what he kind of did, was go through every single thing, you know, with this case. And he honestly believes that he's innocent.
Bro, I don't agree with Stevie. And you know, bro, Stevie, here's the thing. This is what I'm going to hang my hat on. You know, Stevie has, you know, we only saw so much on TV and there are a lot of facts that were helpful. I don't doubt all that for a second. I agree with that 1,000%. He is the monkey wrench. The Bronco chase, bro, with a gun to your head. Bro, if I found out, you know, my wife was brutally murdered and almost decapitated. I don't know, like okay, bro, that's the part. He was fleeing to get someplace before he was going to be arrested, whatever the reason was. But, like, why do I have a gun in my head? Like, that makes absolutely no freaking sense whatsoever. No, zero sense. So forget about you know, the evidence and the trial. Forget about all that. And I agree with Stevie with all that. But I asked Stevie about the Bronco chase, and, you know, like, quite frankly, his answer wasn't very convincing. Bro, the Bronco chase, the gun to the head. His wife was just brutally murdered. Why is he killing himself? It's just, it doesn't make any sense. And again, okay, bro, we can say it doesn't make any sense because at that point in time, he lost his mind. Okay, maybe. But, you know, I've never been in that position. You know, I pray to God I never will be in that position. But I can't imagine threatening to kill myself after learning of that. But who knows? I don't know. But I'm going to listen. I'm going to have an open mind. And I'm going to give Stevie the benefit of the doubt.
And on the latest Triple Threat podcast with the franchise, Shane Douglas, Chad and JP, we're talking with Shane about his appearance when he came on with us on Castrating the Marks a couple weeks ago.
Well, I'm going to reveal to the world tonight for the first time, world premiere right here on the Triple Threat podcast. I have tattooed on the inside of my thigh exactly the lies that I told Ben so I can go back and reread it every day to make sure I'm completely consistent. No, it's like I tell my kids, right? You know, I got boys 14 and 18 years old, and I tell them, tell the truth, because every lie I've ever had to tell in my life, and I've told plenty, that I've had to tell 300 lies to cover the first lie. And somewhere along the line, the franchise's memory gets a little sketchy and I forget all the lies. What did I tell JP? What did I tell Chad? What did I tell Vince? And so I just stick to the truth, come hell or high water, because 2 and 2 equals 4. And if A, B, C, D are the facts, I can remember those because they're facts. So that and the tattoo on the inside of my thigh, and I'm good to go.
I thought you were going to say maybe the inside of your eyelids or the inside of your hand or something. Now, what do you think about the name Castrating the Mark? So I don't know if they explain to you what they do. So it could be the greatest concept ever for a wrestling podcast. So Vince and Jeff review clips that fans send in or tweets that fans send in from the quote unquote dirt sheet writers. So it's either they're contradicting themselves or they're saying something silly or what? Something out of school.
Really?
And it real. I mean, you know, it's been going for a couple of, it's actually, it almost runs parallel with how long we've been doing this. Just a few months ahead of when we started. What do you think of that concept, huh? Castrating the Marks, getting the dirt sheet writers at really at their own game.
Well, I think it's tremendous because, as you know, in this business, everybody out there wants to try to make a name for themselves by twisting some facts from some 20, 25 years ago and then try to make a name with their podcast off of your name. And so whenever I love anytime somebody gets caught in the middle of a lie or spreading bullshit or fake news, as we would say today, because as you guys know, because I hammer you guys every week with fake news today, fake news item of the day, and on. Because when you're misinforming people, to me, that's the most scoundrel thing you can do, especially when you do it and you know you're doing it, if that's your intention. I've lost a lot of brain cells over the years from getting hit with chairs and things. But again, I stand behind the things that I've said over the years because I've been a big mouth in my career. I've always said what I believed at the time. And you'd be hard-pressed to see me go back and say, well, 20 years ago he said A, 15 years ago it was B, 13 years ago it was C, D, and E. And, you know, I've been consistent because I stick to the facts as I recall them vividly. And with something like that, as you can imagine, you know, my career was on the line. I had a long friendship with all the other people that were involved. And so whenever I see somebody like Vince going out and, you know, with the most apropos name in wrestling podcasting, right? You know, that I'm going to call you on your bullshit, on your fake news, and poke you in the eye at the same time doing it. Man, it's a page right of the franchise's playbook.
And, of course, he came on that show, Vince, to discuss things that were said about him by Bruce.
You know what? And I'm, and it works the other way. These guys always call me on my bullshit, and I'm like, bro, what? It's so funny when Shane talks about being caught in a lie. Bro, think about how long we've been doing this. Think about how many freaking enemies I have and how many people are out there that just want to think of how many times they caught me in a lie. You know, they'll say I lied. They'll say I lied till the cows come home. think about how many times, bro, like when I said on a few occasions, Bruce Pritchard lied. I had the evidence that Bruce Pritchard lied. Bro, I lied. I lied when I went to work for TNA as a consultant, and my boss told me, do not let anybody know about this. Anybody finds out about this, the gig is up. If anybody asks you about it, you deny it. So based on, okay, bro, that's my boss. Bro, I was a consultant. If I had a professional consulting firm and, bro, I represented all these businesses, if Hewlett-Packard came to me and said, okay, Vince, we want to use your consulting services, but we don't want anybody to know, I'm going to honor that. Okay, well, if you're paying me and you don't want anybody to know, then nobody's going to know. So when I was asked about that, of course I said no. That's what my client wanted me to say. And that's all that they will hang their hat on that, bro, of yeah, Vince Russo is a liar. But it's exactly what Shane said. That's why I don't lie, bro. Because if you lie, you're going to get caught in a lie. And then it's a lie on top of a lie on top of a lie on top of a lie. And that's why I welcome all of these marks. If I'm lying, come on my show and show me that I'm lying. And what is your proof that I'm lying? It's that simple, bro. You know why I don't lie, Jeff? I don't lie for one simple reason. We all F up. We all make mistakes. I'm not going to lie to cover a mistake. You know, God did not create me perfect. I'm going to screw up. So there's no reason to freaking lie. But that's the one they'll say all the time. Oh, he lied about being a consultant. Yeah, bro, because that's what my client requested of me.
Thinking maybe we should have Shane on for a full episode sometime. He seemed to like that concept. That,
bro, that'd be awesome.
On Friday, on Lions, Tigers, Bears, and Disco, this is you and Disco Inferno talking about MJF flipping the bird to a seven-year-old kid.
Bro, the crop coming up is so freaking young. Bro, MJF, he's a 23-year-old kid. He's not a parent. The ramifications of what it can do to this kid is not even in his stratosphere. You know, bro, sometimes we forget because, bro, like honestly, like let's be honest, if you're reasonable, you can do a lot of, if you're responsible, you could do a lot of other things to be a heel than to give a seven-year-old the middle finger. You could refuse to sign an autograph. You could refuse to take a picture with them. There's a lot of funny things you could do. Giving the middle finger is not one of them. But like I said, bro, sometimes we forget these guys and gals are so freaking young. A lot of them like just don't. They don't understand that, bro. You know, I mean, you know, obviously it really affected this kid. You have to wear that stuff.
I doubt
what I mean, you think there's a possibility it's a publicity stunt? Is it work?
Bro, it's an insignificant. I can't believe this much discussion.
If it were insignificant, it wouldn't be on TMZ, bro.
No, it is insignificant. And you got to, because it's insignificant, all somebody had to do was write it. And say, oh my God, look at MJF. He flicked off a kid and like you put on there like that's significant. Who cares? He's a wrestling character. And okay, a wrestling character, a heel wrestling character flipped off a kid. The guy went to the meet and greet. He was billing himself as MJF. He flipped off a kid and now it's a story.
Bro.
Because bro, it says people in wrestling are searching for content. This is not an issue. This is just content. This is just a meaningless story of a kid, a wrestler flips off a kid, a heel wrestler. And that's like, oh my God, it's on the news. Oh, look at this. It's like, come on. It's like, are we actually pretending that has an impact on anybody?
Do you hear how contradictory he is? This is a meaningless story that you're tweeting about. Why are you tweeting about it then? It's meaningless.
because that's what I'm tweeting, the fact that it is meaningless. But it's like back in the day, the kid, the good heel, the kids flicked us off. And you guys, it's like you guys are making a story out of this. Okay, I said, babe, the story, you know, did this happen the opposite way a million times a show, you know?
If I wasn't a scholar and a gentleman, I'd flip you off. But I'm a scholar and a gentleman. So, Jeff, what's next, bro? Edit that out. Jeff, use the mosaic. That's not necessary. That kid may be watching this show.
Audio people, Vince just ate a bird from Disco.
Yeah, very nice.
They wouldn't know.
How do you know? That wasn't for Vince. That was for everybody watching this. Okay, that supports you.
That's real
nice. I wasn't flipping you off. I'm flipping everybody off here.
That is real nice. What's next, Jeff?
Well, they always do these media calls with AEW.
Bro, he's wearing the same hat, by the way,
Glenn. Look at this. Okay, if you're watching, let me tell you something. Here's the thing. If you're watching this podcast on your computer and you got your kid next to you and you're watching this, okay, and your kid's 7 years old, that's for your kid right there.
That's very adult. That's very nice. That's nice. All right.
F your kid.
And of course, that clip ended with Disco flipping off any 7 year old watching this. It's funny. A brand member, some punk, sent me a clip of himself watching that with his kid, which was entertaining. But, you know, you guys had some different things back and forth there on that. But I don't know. I just think the big thing is, a guy that's not Chris Jericho or Dean Ambrose got on the front page of TMZ from AEW, and I think that's a good thing. It gets some publicity either way.
I don't know, Jeff. I'm a father, bro. You know, I'm a father. Whether a wrestler is in character or not, and there's a 7-year-old kid, and the guy said, "Bro, you don't understand. Like, this is like, come on, bro. Like, I'm sorry." And like I said, no heat on MJF. Like I said, bro, we forget sometimes how young a lot of these people are, and you learn from experience, bro. I don't agree with that.
But you thought that show wrapped up the week. Well, not anymore, because now we wrap up the week on Saturday on the Realm Network with just you, Vince, on Chicken Necks. And in this clip, you were talking about Devotion Championship Wrestling earlier in the show. And you're talking in this clip about people quitting the promotion because they weren't put on the promotional poster.
Bro, wrestlers on the independent scene that have never done nothing in their entire lives. Bro, I work for a guy in Utah, Devotion Championship Wrestling. Guys, follow that on Twitter. Manny Lemons, great freaking guy, bro. Nicest guy you would ever want to meet in the world. He's running a promotion in Salt Lake City, Utah. He's doing really well, bro. He's doing really, really well for himself. He asked me to help him out, bro. I've been helping him out now for about 3 shows, 3 months, whatever, however long it's been, since the beginning of the year. Bro, do you know, since I started working with Manny, he has had 3 people that work his shows and come from out of town. Bro, they quit the promotion because Manny did not put them on the promotional poster. Like, bro, I got to drop an F-bomb here. Like, are you kidding me? First of all, bro, when you go to work for Manny, you're getting to work in front of a great crowd. The people in Salt Lake are crowd. Manny is great. About 250 people come to the show. So you're not talking about working in front of 6 people. On top of that, bro, you get to work with me. And, you know, that might not be worth anything to you, but bro, I promise you there's a significant value to that. I will help you with your character. I will help you with your promo. It's not going to cost you anything. But yet, bro, you sent Manny fiery emails because he didn't put you on a poster. Like, bro, how can you think for a minute you're going to make it in this business on a professional level when you are upset with an indie promoter for him not putting your freaking mug on a poster. You actually think, bro, you're going to be able to work for Vince McMahon? You actually believe that, bro? What the frig is wrong with people? Nobodies who have never done anything are upset because their hideous mugs are not on a poster. Bro, maybe there's going to be 200 posters printed and they're going to be going out locally. Like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, what is wrong with people? What the freak is wrong with you? I swear, bro, there's something about wrestling that just draws moronic people. And, you know, like, bro, while we're on the subject, because this is also on my list.
And you got hot. There was an F-bomb or two in there. But isn't that kind of like, you know, you talk about how these are nobodies who never did anything, but isn't that kind of like the weeds, like weeding themselves out? You know, these are people that would have been problems somewhere else along the line, even if they were on the poster, if this is their attitude. You talk about how great everybody is there, how respectful they are. I would think this, good, see it. We don't need people like you.
Well, wait a minute, bro, because now I'm perplexed by G-Funk on Twitch that is saying you wouldn't tell the kid to suck it up. I swear to God, G-Funk, I hope you don't have any kids. Because no, bro, if a professional wrestler terrorized my 7-year-old son because my 7-year-old son didn't know that this was a work and this is make-believe and it really upset my 7-year-old son, no, I would not tell my 7-year-old son to suck it up. And I pray to God, bro, you don't have 7-year-old sons that you're telling to suck it up on the situations like that. But Jeff, to get to your question, yeah, bro, like, goodbye, see ya. Like, come on, bro, like, stop. Like, oh my God, stuff like that drives me crazy. Yeah, see ya, go. I don't care. See ya, we're done.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing, because if they're going to bitch about not being on a poster, they would bitch about something else later on, you know?
Yep.
But G-Funk says he wasn't being serious.
All right. Well, you gotta say that, bro. I mean, because I'm like, you know, you gotta, you know, I don't know. I can't
apologize.
I can't tell through words whether you're being serious or sarcastic, bro. You want me to apologize?
And guys, all... Yeah, you should apologize.
How should I apologize? I can't tell through a sentence whether he was serious or sarcastic. He should have put in parentheses being sarcastic.
I know. I was being a hypocrite because I do the same thing. Yeah. Remember, guys, you can get all of these shows on video and audio. There's even more that you didn't get to see. Vito and Noel do an awesome Mr. versus Mrs. show that you can vote on. All these shows, guys, video and audio, only on the Realm Network at russosbrand.com. Click subscribe to the Realm Network right at the top. It is still less than $1 a week, comes out to $3.95 a month, zero long-term commitment. You do not have to sign up for 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. You can try it for a month. You can opt out if you choose to do so. russosbrand.com. Subscribe to the Realm Network.
Yeah, and also, guys, remember, check out Patreon, man. We got a whole menu of other shows on our Patreon. You know, different shows, bro, a variety of shows. Just go to patreon.com/RussoTWC. There's different tiers you could choose from depending on what you want. That all starts at $3 a month. Check that out. And that is it, everybody. Hopefully you'll join the brand, and we will see you tomorrow for Lions, Tigers, Bears, and Disco. Have a great day, everybody.